The Boy Who Shuddered, from the tale by the Brothers Grimm. A father had two sons. The youngest was clever and intelligent, and knew how to manage everything. But the eldest was dull, and could neither understand nor learn anything much. Now the clever younger son had one flaw. He was always afraid. When asked to go on an errand near a churchyard or some other dreaded place, the younger boy would always answer, "Oh, no, father, I won't go there. It makes me shudder." The older had no such fear. In the evening by the fire, when stories were told that made one's flesh creep, the listeners sometimes said, "Oh, that makes me shudder." The oldest son would sit in a corner and listen with the others, but he could not imagine what they meant. "They were always saying, 'It makes me shudder, it makes me shudder.' It does not make me shudder. That too must be a skill that I do not understand." And one night he told his father, "I do want to learn something. I want to learn how to shudder. I don't understand that at all yet." And all the company laughed mightily at the dull boy's silly request. "You will not earn your bread by shuddering," said the father. "You are growing stronger by the day, so you must think on how you will earn your daily bread." Soon afterward, a priest came to the house to take the dull boy away. "I am a clever man, and will cut off his rough edges and will teach him to shudder," said the priest. The boy was to be put to work in ringing out each of the night hours on the great church bell. That very night the priest awoke the boy near midnight and told him to get up, climb the church tower to the platform, and ring the bell 12 times. The boy took some time to find the right path and to reach the top of the tower. When he was about to take hold of the bell rope, he saw a ghostly white figure standing still in the moonlight. The boy did not shudder, but shouted a warning. "What do you want here? Speak if you are an honest fellow." Then another, "Speak, or you will be thrown back off the tower." The figure did not move. Then the boy shouted for a third time, and ran forward and pushed the ghost off the tower. It stumbled over and tumbled down and away into the dark. The next morning the priest's manservant found him lying deep in a heap of old straw near the base of the tower. The priest was alive, but strangely wrapped in a white cotton sheet, and his leg was broken. The boy tried to explain that he had defended the tower from an intruder, but he was banished from the priest's house. The boy's father was ashamed and would not take him back, for the boy still kept saying, "If only I could shudder. If only I could shudder." The father sadly gave his boy a bag of 50 coins and said, "Go out into the wide world, but tell no one where you come from or who your father is." The boy walked the countryside and muttered to himself, "If only I could shudder, if only I could shudder." One afternoon, a man overheard him and took the boy to see a lonely hangman's gallows on a hill. There the man said to him, "Look, there is the tree where 7 page boys got married to the rope maker's daughter and are now learning how to fly. Their tongues were too clever for the queen. Sit down beneath it and wait until night comes, and then you will learn how to shudder. If you do, then you must give me your 50 coins. Then the boy went up to the gallows, sat down beneath them, and made himself a fire. However, at midnight there came up such a cold wind that in spite of the fire he could not get warm. And as the wind pushed the hanged bodies against each other, causing them to move to and fro, he felt pity for them. So he put up the ladder and climbed up, untied them, and one after the other dropped them all down. Then he stirred up the fire, blew into it, and set all the small bodies around it to warm themselves. But they just sat there without moving, and their fine clothes caught fire. So he said to them, "Be careful, boys, or I will hang you up again." But their clothes continued to burn. This made him angry, and so he hung them all up again in a row. But he made a simple mistake in this new hanging, for he hung them all up upside down. Then he sat down by his fire and fell asleep. The next dawn the man came to him and wanted the 50 coins. He said, "Well, do you know how to shudder?" But then the man saw that the boy had taken down the bodies in the night, had burned them, and had hung them up again in a strange fashion. So the man took one look at the boy and ran away in sheer fright. The boy went on his way, and once more began muttering to himself, "Oh, if only I could shudder, oh, if only I could shudder." Then he came to an inn with the sign of the three rivers painted on its board. The innkeeper said, as he entered, "Who are you?" "I don't know," replied the boy. Then the innkeeper asked, "Where'd you come from?" "I don't know." "Who's your father?" "I'm not permitted to say." "Then what's this I heard you muttering to yourself outside?" "I want to be able to shudder, but no one can teach me how." Hearing this, the innkeeper laughed and said, "There is a place nearby to make you shudder." Then he turned serious. "Too many meddlesome people have already lost their lives there. Yeah, you're young. It would be a pity and a shame if your beautiful eyes were never again to see the light of day." But the boy said, "I want to learn to shudder, however difficult it may be. That is why I left home." He gave the innkeeper no rest until the man told him that there was a haunted grove of trees on a nearby island, at a place where three misty rivers swirled together into one. There a person could very easily learn how to shudder if he would just keep watch for 3 nights. The king had promised that whoever would dare to do this would have his daughter in marriage, and she was the most beautiful young maiden between the two seas. Further, at the back of the grove there was a great ring of standing stones, and under each of the stones great treasures, but guarded by the spirits of dangerous animals. Many had entered the grove, but no one had ever come out again. When night was approaching, the boy swam the colder river waters and went inside the grove, and there made himself a bright hot fire. Toward midnight he decided to stir up his fire. He was just blowing into it when a cry suddenly came from behind one of the great trees. "Meow, meow, how cold we are." "You fools," he shouted, "what are you crying about? If you're cold, come and sit by the fire and warm yourselves." When he had said that, two large grey cats came out of the mist with a powerful leap and sat down on either side of him, looking at him savagely with eyes glowing like full moons. A little while after warming themselves, they said, "Manling, shall you play a game of cards with two old grimalkins?" "Why not?" the boy replied. "But first, show me your paws." So they stretched out their claws. "Oh," he said, "what long nails you have. Wait, first I will have to trim them for you, or you will scratch the cards." And with that he seized them by their feet and hung them upside down, and with his knife he cut their throats and threw them out into the river. After he had put these two to death, he was about to sit down again by his fire, when from every side and every corner of the shadowy grove there came screeching black cats held on red-hot chains. More and more of them appeared, and their hot chains on the fur sent out great coils of smoke. He was pinned in a circle of them and could no longer move. They yowled horribly, and then one broke its chain and jumped into his fire and pulled it apart, trying to put it out. The boy quietly watched them for a little while, and finally the thought of being without his fire was too much for him, and he seized his bloody knife and cried, "Away with you, you villains!" and hacked away at them. Some of them ran away, the others he killed and threw out into the river. When he came back, he blew into the embers of his fire until they flamed up again and warmed himself. As he sat there, his eyes would no longer stay open, and he wanted to sleep. Looking around, he saw a large green bower bed in the corner. It had soft covers of woven meadowsweet and tied sheafs of foxgloves like pillows. "That is just what I wanted after all this fuss," he said, and lay down on it. However, as he was about to shut his eyes, the bed began to move by itself and slipped down to float off into the main river. "Good," he said, "but let's go faster." Then the bed rolled faster and on, over foaming rocks and under rivers, past castles and boatyards, down and down the river toward the wide sea. But then suddenly the bower bed tipped upside down and pinned him under the waters. But he threw the covers and scattered pillows to one side. Then he burst his head above the bubbling surface, and once again he was in the grove. He lay down by his fire and slept until it was day. In the morning the king came, for he had heard that a young boy had ventured into the dangerous grove. When the king saw the boy lying there on the ground, he thought that the grove had killed him like the others and that he was dead. Then said the king, "It is indeed a pity to lose such a handsome young boy." The boy heard this and got up and said sleepily, "It hasn't come to that yet." The king was astonished, but glad, and asked how he had fared. "Very well," he replied. "One night is past, and two others will pass as well." When he returned to the inn, the innkeeper asked, "Did you learn how to shudder?" "No," he said, "it is all in vain. If someone would only tell me how." The second night, he again went up to the grove, sat down by the fire, and began his old song once more, "If only I could shudder." As midnight was approaching, he heard a noise and commotion. At first it was soft, and then louder and louder. Then it was a little quiet, and finally, with a loud scream, half of a man came down from the stars and fell on the grass in front of him. "Hey," the boy shouted, "another half belongs here. This is too little." Then the noise began again. With roaring and howling, the other half fell down as well. But the other half was more like a set of tree roots than it was a man. "Wait," the boy said, "let me blow on the fire and make it burn a little warmer for you." When he had done that and looked around again, he saw the two pieces had come together, and a hideous tree man was sitting in his place by the fire. "That wasn't part of the deal," said the boy. "That warm bench is mine." So the boy pushed him aside with force, and he fell off the bench. The boy sat down again in his rightful place on the bench. Then six more tree men fell down, one after the other. They brought 9 alderwood pipes to play tunes on, and 2 big hollow skulls to beat like drums. These they took up and made strange music. The boy wanted to play the music too, and said, "Listen, can I play with you?" "Yes, if you have a song to put to our tune." "Song enough," he answered, "but your drum skins are not very tight." Then he lifted up the skulls, tightening the skins on them round and round. "There, now they will sound more cheerful," he said. "Hey, this will be fun." He played with the tree men, and he lost some of his voice, but when the clock struck 12, everything disappeared before his eyes. He lay down and peacefully fell asleep. The next morning the king came to learn what had happened. "How did you do this time?" he asked.
"I made a new song," he answered in a tiny croak, "and lost my voice."
"But did you shudder?"
"How? I had cheerful fun, but oh, if only I knew how to shudder."
On the third night, the boy sat down again on his bench in the grove and whispered quite sadly, "If only I could shudder." When it was late, six large men in hooded black cloaks came into the grove. They carried a coffin, all marked around with the emblem of a white swan. At this he said, "Aha! For certain that is my clever young brother who died a few days ago." Then he knocked three times on the coffin and motioned with his finger and cried, "Come out, little brother, come." The men put the small coffin on the ground. The boy went up to it and took the lid off. His dead brother lay inside. He felt the face, and it was as cold as ice. "Wait," he said, "I will warm you up a little." He went to the fire and warmed his own hand, then laid it on the little brother's face. But the child remained cold. Then he took the brother out, sat down by the fire and laid him on his lap, rubbing the arms to get the blood warmed again. When that did not help either, he thought to himself, "When two people lie in bed together, they keep each other warm." So he carried his dead brother to the bower bed and put him under the covers and lay down next to him. A little while later, the dead child became warm too and began to wriggle. The boy said, "See, little brother, I got you warm, didn't I?" But the dead child cried out, "I was happy being dead, you dull ninny. Now I'm going to strangle you." "What?" he said. "Is that my thanks? Get back into your coffin, idiot." Then he picked his brother up, threw him inside, and shut the lid. Then the six dark men came in from the edge of the grove and carried the small coffin away again. "I cannot shudder," he said. "I won't learn it here as long as I live." As the six men left, another man came in. He was like the others, but much larger and looked frightful. He was old and had a long, misty grey beard. "You wretch," he shouted, "you shall soon learn what it is to shudder, for you are about to die." "Not so fast," answered the boy. "If I am to die, I will have to be here." And off he ran. But a long bony hand was quicker, and it snatched hold of the boy's collar. "I've got you," said the monster man. "I am just as strong as you are, and probably even stronger," proclaimed the struggling boy as he was lifted up into the air. "We shall see," said the man. "If you are stronger than I am, I shall let you go. Come, let us put it to the test." Then the old man led him to the back of the grove and through a dark passageway of dead branches. The path led to the ring of ancient standing stones, all hemmed about with tall dead trees. With one blow of his fist, the man drove one of the stones into the ground. "I can do better than that," said the boy, and went to the next great stone and looked at it carefully. Then he looked down at the ground as if in defeat. The old man came and stood nearby, curious to look on. His long, misty grey beard hung down. The boy seized the beard, and with a deft movement he wedged the old man's beard down into a tight crack. "Now have you," said the boy. "Now it is your turn to die." Then he seized a branch and beat the old man until he sank to his knees and moaned and begged him to stop, promising that he would give the boy great riches. Taking his knife, the boy cut off the man's beard and so released him. The old man feebly pointed to the centre of the stone ring and there showed him three chests new risen from the earth. "Of these," he said, "one is for the poor, and the second one is for the king, and the third one is yours." Then the boy heard a distant tower clock strike 12, and the man monster disappeared, leaving the boy standing in the dark. The next morning the king came and said, "Why, now you must have learned to shudder." No, he answered. What is it to shudder? My dead brother was here, and a giant bearded man came and showed me treasures, but no one showed me how to shudder. Then the king said, you have redeemed this sacred grove from an ancient curse, and you shall have the reward I have offered. You shall marry my young daughter. That is all very well, said the boy, but I still do not know how to shudder. Then the chests were brought out of the grove, and the wedding feast celebrated. But however much the boy king adored his young wife, he was always saying during the feast, if only I could shudder, if only I could shudder. This made his new wife angry. Her little chambermaid stepped in and said, I can help. I know how he can shudder. She went out to the moonlit brook that flowed through the king's garden and caught a whole bucketful of minnows. That wedding night, when the young king was asleep, his wife was to pull the covers off him and pour the bucketful of cold water and minnows onto him, so that the little fishes would wriggle all over him. When she did this, he woke up crying out, oh, what is making me shudder? What is making me shudder, dear wife? Then he gasped, yes, yes, now I know how to shudder. The Boy Who Shuddered, from the tale by the Brothers Grimm. Read by David Hayden.